Knoll.
Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Fredericksburg Association of Realtors in this morning. Kim McClellan is here, and she has brought some friends that we're going to introduce you to in just a second. But Kim, I have missed you. Good morning. Welcome back.
Yes, it's nice to be here. Thanks so much for having us again.
You and I have done do usually a number of shows each year, and we're going to get into all the market trends and everything. And this is every time we do these shows, I hear comments about it because this truly is a topic we all are interested in. Even if we're not selling or buying, you're noticing things in your neighborhood, or you hear people talking.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody sees the for sale signs in their neighborhood. They're renting. They're seeing their rent go up. Everybody's interested in what's happening in the housing market. There's always something to talk about.
So before we introduce who all is here, the Fredericksburg Association of Realtors, talk a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, so we represent about 1,700 realtors and affiliate members. Those are people like mortgage lending, settlement agents, a home inspection, and we have agents who work in all the jurisdictions surrounding the city, so Caroline, King George, Spotsylvania, Stafford, Orange, and certainly into the Northern Neck and Prince William and by the lake as well. And we have great agents who specialize in new construction, 55 and older, residential sales, commercial sales, the whole gamut.
So there's a lot of you around, and you're active, and you do, and probably most have seen every month you're able to break down, you know, what's going on in the region. It's a great help for anybody.
Yes, absolutely. So our website has our monthly statistics. They publish about the 10th of the month. When we take a look at things like, you know, number of sales, people are always keyed in on that price. What is the median price for each jurisdiction? Looking at, you know, what kind of houses sold, three bedrooms, four bedrooms, how many of those? So we get a lot of detail that we can share and put out there.
You must like statistics and math and that kind of thing.
You know, it's funny, if my family's listening, I don't like math, but I've really gotten into following these statistics because it's so interesting to see these trends and to track what's happening and to be able to compare to many years ago. We started tracking the stats, gosh, more than 10 years ago now. So we do have a good perspective, and these folks have been in the business for a long time, on how things have changed and how that compares, you know, now to 5 years ago or even longer ago or even just last year. I mean, it's always interesting to make those comparisons.
So you brought some friends in this morning. I'll let you introduce them, and we'll go from there.
Yes, we have two wonderful members of the FAR leadership. So we have Gary Gardner, who is with Coldwell Banker Elite and is our president-elect. So he'll be inaugurated in for next year, for 2027. And Tamar Myers-Moffitt, who's with Sampson Properties and is our vice president this year. So thank you two for being here. Why don't you say how long you've been in the business and
what you specialize in? Yeah, I was just going to say, I was going to start with you and ask, how did you get involved with all of this?
Oh, hi. Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I've actually been in sales my entire career, and when I moved to Virginia back in 2008, it was sort of a career shift for me. So someone was like, why don't you consider real estate and take some classes? And I'm like, okay, we'll see. And after my initial licensing class, I knew that this was the career for me.
I was just going to ask you, because I hear all the time people saying, I want to do it, and some people haven't have been successful. Some people have never gotten past the test. So what is that like? How difficult is that?
I didn't find it difficult. Like any, you know, licensing or standardized test, you have to read the questions carefully. You know, they have, you know, trick language in there that kind of lead you to one answer. But if you read each question carefully, you can really determine the correct answer.
Okay.
But I think it's the stress, the timing, and the number of questions that throw people off. But, studying, you know, preparation and actually taking your time during the exam really positions you to pass the first time or a second. Depends.
Gary, welcome. What's your story? How did you get into
Good morning.
Real estate?
Thank you so much for having me. A little bit of an unconventional path for me, although our family came from entrepreneurship. My grandfather owned his own company within real estate. Both residential, commercial, and commercial appraising for 50 years out of Potomac, Maryland.
Okay.
My mom had an iconic beach club for five decades up in New Jersey. Aunt and uncle owned men's clothing business in Northern Virginia, three locations. I took a complete left turn, went into police work, if you can imagine. Graduated from George Mason University, spent time at Prince William County Police, got promoted to detective, was a detective for a number of years, went into the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, was a supervisor there in the Missing Children's Division. So I rounded off that career in 2007, got into real estate over 19 years ago, knowing that I had a good basis for entrepreneurship, and I knew real estate was going to be my passion. So 19 years has come and gone. It's gone quickly. I'm excited and just as passionate about real estate as I was about police work.
Interesting. You've had a couple of careers.
I have. So I spent 26 years between Prince William County Police and the National Center.
Yeah.
And then came into real estate in 2007, probably not in the most ideal time.
Right in the middle of
short sale, foreclosure. A great time to learn, but not a great time to earn. But it was a great experience for me. It kicked off a real estate career that I really enjoy, and just thankful to be here.
What a great line, a great time to learn, not earn. That really does, you know, describe what those years were like.
It was tough. It was really kind of an unconventional market for us, not a traditional market. But again, a lot of time of learning and processing and trying to figure out what it takes to run a successful real estate business. And I had a lot of good mentors along the way.
Tamara, there's so many ups and downs, it seems, with real estate, even around here.
It's cyclical, just like our economy. You have recessions and depressions. Yeah. I mean, just like interest rates, they go up, they go down. So I think our real estate market is reflective of our economy and how it's designed. So when we see these sort of cycles, I think it's a matter of riding the wave, determining what's most important for you and your family and making those strategic decisions, not necessarily trying to time it against the market, but more so align it with what's most important to you and your short and long-term goals, because the cycle will continue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Regardless.
We're going to take a quick break and come back and then jump into what is going on around here. Good stuff this morning with the Fredericksburg Association of Realtors, Kim, Gary, and Tamara here this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We will be right back.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff already here this morning. The Fredericksburg Area Association of Realtors is in this morning. Kim, Gary, and Tamar here. So we'll start. The question everybody Gary talks about is, what's the market doing right now? And we all, just even off air, are talking about, you know, you see houses in your neighborhood and you wonder how much are they going for, and you watch to see how long, you know, the sign changes.
Yeah, we're seeing a great uptick for sellers. You know, we're seeing higher sales pricing. We're seeing longer days on the market, so a little bit of a double-edged sword there for sellers. But buyers do have more opportunity. Buyers have more to choose from. Inventory has gone up. We are seeing average sales prices in and around $479,500, which is some nice equity for sellers. We are seeing the market in a little bit of a different turn. We're seeing some fallout. We're seeing more choices for buyers. They're able to negotiate contingencies, and if they have an exit within the contingencies, then they're exercising that if it's not exactly what they negotiate in their behalf. And so we're seeing a great sales price for sellers and good opportunity for buyers. Buyers, again, have more choices with inventory increasing steadily.
But you all have seen, in really just over the last few years, such changes. I mean, I remember a few years ago where people were buying stuff sight, you know, they were buying it, you know, almost sight unseen, which to me was just crazy. But you know, there have been, I mean, we talked a few minutes ago about just kind of the ups and downs, and you certainly all have seen that locally with what you do, that it, you know, even month to month changes a lot.
Yeah, like Gary said, you know, we're still seeing a market that leans in towards sellers, except I think there's a lot of lessons learned that people have gleaned over the past couple years. Buyers are more educated. They're not buying sight unseen as they were before during, like, the COVID years, we'll call it,
yeah,
where people wanted to shelter in the place they owned, you know, mm-hmm. versus, you know, a temporary fix, because we didn't know what was happening then. So since then, I mean, the conversations that I have with both my buyers and my sellers are a lot more meaningful. They're prepared to negotiate. Sellers are being a lot more proactive with the products that we're putting on the market, with inventory condition. Buyers are scrutinizing the property a little bit more, being more mindful of how they spend their money, not feeling so beholden to the contract. Like Gary said, hey, if we're not going to meet in the middle and come to terms, I'll walk away. And you're starting to see that. So now it's a balanced market. It's a lot more healthy, I would say, like we've seen before. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, because some of that did over the years, Kim, we've talked about it. Sometimes it just didn't seem healthy.
Absolutely. And we've seen that in the numbers. I mean, we've been steadily the last few months at about 1,000 active listings, which sounds like so many.
Yeah.
We had been down into the 300s at like the height, the worst time mm-hmm. of those COVID years. And when you have 300 homes in the market in a 6-county jurisdiction, that's where you get sight unseen, people bringing money to the table, don't care about the home inspection, just get me in the house. That's not happening. 1,000 homes is still undersupplied historically, but not based on our 5-year average, right? I mean, I think this is kind of the new normal. The time mm-hmm. where we had 1,700 homes in the market, that's not coming back anytime soon. I think we all know that. But 1,000 homes does give buyers more breathing room, more options. It's still challenging, especially we're talking about in certain price points. Right? If you have a buyer who's, and I'll leave this up to you guys, under $400,000, how much inventory is there at that price point? So little, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of it needs significant work. So we're yeah. still seeing significant competition in the lower price points. You know, but it is better than it was several years ago.
And I do say, Kim, you know, the number one reason why clients hire you is to negotiate on their behalf. And not being able to negotiate on their behalf and facing adverse consequences back in the COVID years was kind of a shift for us, because that's the number one reason why they hire us.
Yeah.
Is to negotiate on their behalf, to get them the best deal, to get them the most equitable situation. And being that we were faced with adverse consequences of waiving contingencies, competing against multiple offers, not knowing if they could negotiate on any one particular home against another, put us in a really tough position as a real estate professional.
I never thought of that in those years. That was tough when there was not much negotiation, and that would be really difficult.
It was difficult, and you almost had to talk them out of it. You know, we saw escalation clauses astronomically higher than what we believed it would likely appraise for, maybe even 10 years from now. And so for us, we had to have the really tough conversation with buyers to say, is this something you really want to do? Because it may be a long-term plan for you. When we say the average person typically moves within 5 to 7 years to step up, circumstances change. And so for us, it was just a really tough position as real estate professionals to be in. Hard conversations with buyers, an incredible market for sellers. If you were a listing agent, you couldn't get a sign in the yard, and you had 10 contracts within the first 24 hours. And so I do see the standard market much more beneficial to our state, being that we're a buyer beware state.
Well, in a lot of ways, I mean, you guys are like coaches. I mean, you've got to, at times, just, you know, I'm sure, you know, just kind of coach your people, because most people aren't involved in this, and you do. You see the trends. You know what's likely to work and not work.
Yeah, it really depends on, it's so circumstantial. Every case, every transaction is different with whether it's a buyer or the seller. So thinking from the buyer's perspective, for example, their capabilities are different. So if we had a buyer that recently sold a home and had the equity that Gary is talking about, they are in a position to maybe waive certain contingencies mm-hmm. or pay a difference in an appraisal gap. So now it feels unbalanced, but this particular buyer's capability,
they can do it.
It is stronger than some of the others. So then you have that kind of thing as well. So when you're working with buyers, you want to coach them to do their best. Leave it on the floor. Don't compete with the seller necessarily, but think about other buyers who might also want the house and do your best. That way, if the house is for you and you win the contract, great. If not, we move on to something else, because it is very competitive. It's very emotional as well, especially when the buyers love the property. So it's one of those things, like you were saying, the coaches, get your mind right, do the preparation on the back end, go to the gym, save your money, work on those scores, and have the faith that the house that's for you will be yours.
The other thing too, Ted, that Tamar brought up, which was a really good point, is that, you know, we really have to be masters of budget for them. You know, they have a down payment, they have closing costs. There's now the consideration of buyer compensation. Are they paying it? Are we able to negotiate a portion of it or all of it to be paid by on behalf of the seller? And so not only coaching, but we have to be masters of budget on their behalf to be able to break down the percentages for them of what would benefit them the most.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to see the person get in trouble and not be able to – not be ultimately down the line, a few months down the line, be able to make payments.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that part of it, too, with the uptick in interest rates, you know, we've seen interest rates hover in the higher price. And it's been in and around 6%, you know, which is somewhat stabilized, but still much higher than what we were used to in 20 and 21 into 22, where those interest rates were significantly lower. And that translates into dollars, and that translates into their overall budget. And so I find ourselves almost educating them on the financial aspects of ownership.
I agree. That is like one of the things, Gary, that I say to my clients. You know, when you speak with the lender and you determine what the budget is, I also say reverse engineer the question, right? So now that we know what the budget is and we know what the anticipated mortgage is for a certain number, now let's roll it back and say, if I want my payment to be within this range, where should I shop? Because a lot of times buyers will receive a pre-approval letter with how up to an amount they can afford, and they tend to stay there or get discouraged if the mortgage amount exceeds their comfortability. So I'll say, hey, look, just because you can buy the $10,000 Gucci bag doesn't mean you want to buy the $10,000 Gucci bag. So let's roll it back to where we stay within budget. We look at what your mortgage is, because when the lights go down and the realtors go away, you have a payment. So that's the kind of thing we sort of set expectations from the beginning to stay in the game and get them where they need to be.
I love you guys. I mean, when the lights go down and the realtor goes away, it's life. And we sort of, Kim, I can remember a few years ago, especially when interest rates started to change, and we all were thinking, well, they're up here now, but they're gonna come back now. I think we all have now come to the realization, and you kind of mentioned it, Gary. I mean, I think where interest rates are now, that's what we've got to deal with.
Yeah, and they've been, I mean, I know they've been up and down a little bit, but they've stayed in the 6 to 7 range for a long time now. And I don't think anybody, at least you all tell me if this is correct, I don't think anybody is sitting around waiting to buy till it goes down to 2 or 3 again. Because we just know that that's not in the cards, especially with the global instability that we've seen. It's just not happening. Now, people are sensitive. As soon as prices, you know, the rate drops a little bit, we see an uptick in mortgage applications. But it's a small number. It's not hugely driving the market. I think the bigger deal is people being able to save for that down payment. And that's why we've seen that average age for the first-time homebuyer just skyrocket. I think it's noteworthy to talk about that the National Association of Realtors does like a profile of homebuyers and sellers every year. And you know, in the 80s, the average age for a first-time homebuyer was in their 20s. It's 40 years old now. That's incredible.
It is, because you think about that, you know, that's add that up, you know, add 30 years to that.
And think about like when you have your mortgage paid off. If you're buying in your 20s, you've got, you know, pretty financial freedom from your home, you know, in middle age. If you're not buying until 40, you know, but sometimes hopefully these people come in with larger down payments, maybe. And then we're looking at that share of first-time homebuyers. Back in the 80s, it was like 40%. It's 20% now of the market is first-time homebuyers. So if you're a first-time homebuyer and you don't have that equity to pull from a previous property, it is really hard to break into a $500,000 house to start with. And there's not a lot of other options if you want to buy a lower-priced home.
Yeah, the other thing I noticed, Kim, and it's a great point, when you talk about the differential between age, you know, equity is the accelerator for the step-up buyer to be able to transfer that equity from one property to another as their family changes. They have kids and their income hasn't been able to increase on a percentage that equity has increased for them in order to help with that down payment, in order to help with the closing costs, and to help with all the incidental costs that it takes in order to get into that step-up purchase, which is a much higher price point. So when you're talking about the average age of now being 40 years old for the first-time home buyer, they have the disadvantage of not having the equity that the younger ones had in the past. to be able to step up as their family grows into a much higher price point by using the equity and transferring the funds. And so Kim brought up a great point too about the market and what we look at today. You know, our area is geared toward and has been the step up, you know, buyer, mm-hmm. you know, where they have transferred equity from one property to another. All of those sellers that took advantage of the low interest rates between 2%, 3%, and 4% were willing to wait to see if it was ever going to come down to be beneficial to their budget in a way of which they could capture the lower interest rate, which now has caused them to see that I don't think that will happen ever again, yeah. and they're ready to move. And so I think we're slowly getting toward in our area that coinciding seller who's been on the couch for so many years now to say, I don't think it's going to change. I think it's time to move. I think we have the equity to step up and we will sell our house to purchase another. So we're starting to see that inventory come back into the market, which has increased our overall inventory.
That's interesting. That is so interesting because we have talked about that before. And if that continues, I guess that would be a big change for around here.
It's going to be a big change in the amount of inventory we receive.
Yeah.
And so inventory has creeped up as time has gone, but we're still vastly low on inventory historically. And so I do see as sellers are coming out enjoying a historically low interest rate at 6% to 7%, they're going to give us the opportunity for buyers to have more to choose from.
Gary Gardner is the president-elect of the Fredericksburg Association of Realtors. He's a broker with Coldwell Banker Elite. Tamara Myers Moffitt is the vice president and with Sampson Properties, and Kim McClellan, director of public affairs for the Fredericksburg Association of Realtors. Quick break. Good stuff this morning. We will continue to talk about this when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning with the Fredericksburg Association of Realtors. Kim McClellan here, Tamar Myers Moffitt is here, and Gary Gardner here. And before we get out of here this morning, we'll talk about how you can get in touch with them personally. If you're listening to this and thinking, I'd like to talk more to them about this kind of thing. Tamar, you were just saying, we were just talking off air about, when we talk about buying, about that there are creative ways, there are creative things you can do to get into the market, to get a home.
Yeah, we were talking about the leverage of people that were able to sell a house and had some cash to put toward down payments, or, you know, buying down, you know, the purchase price itself.
Yeah.
But I did want to share that there were alternate ways of obtaining down payment assistance. So let's just say you are a first-time home buyer and you don't have $45,000 saved in your bank account. What are some other ways you can acquire this money to qualify for the loan? Well, a lot of Virginia Housing, you have down payment assistance programs as well. As long as your scores are within a certain range and your income is there, you could qualify for that. Also, gift funds. And we're seeing a lot of multi-generational collaboration out there in the real estate market. Sometimes mom and dad have money in the bank or cash within the house or things like that. So you can use gift funds to help pay some of your down payment costs depending on your loan type as well, or even some of your savings accounts like your 401k, things of that nature. They are eligible for withdrawals to help purchase a home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I just wanted to make sure your listeners out there knew that, hey, if I don't have a house to sell but I still want to jump in and purchase, there are some resources out there to help assist with some of the cash needed to buy a home.
And this, boys and girls, is why you sit down and talk to a realtor, and you find out these kinds of things. Even if you think I can't do it, but sit down and talk to somebody.
I think exactly what Tamar said. The number one challenge I think for most is affordability today,
yeah.
And so that becomes the topic of conversation from the very beginning: is how do we afford this? We have higher pricing, we have higher interest rates, we have closing costs, we have to meet our down payment. Number one, affordability being on top of their list. Virginia Housing has been a great segue for us to be able to stay in our lane, mm-hmm. and to be able to put them in touch with a lender, and to be able to go to that trusted advisor and say, how can we afford, and what do we need to do, and what does our budget look like, and how do we break it down in a way that we can take on the higher pricing, take on the higher interest rates, stay within our budget, stay within our both personal budget of what we know we need to account for every daily expense on top of being and receiving the benefit of home ownership.
This reminds me always, whenever I hear the phrase, it's a great phrase, and I always think of you, Kim, because it was on this show with you, that the whole, you know, marry the home, date the rate.
Yes, that there's opportunities to refinance. And I think it also needs to be said that a lot of the folks we're talking about are already renters that are paying $2,000, $3,000 a month in rent, which is a huge amount of money. So it might not even be that big of a transition for them to get in a home. And interest rates change, right? So I've heard that many times. Marry the house, date the rate, because at some point, something will change and you will be able to refinance.
And it's a great teachable moment to those renters to say, just as much as the sales pricing is increasing, so is the rent. And the rent historically has been at our highest that we've seen in our region for a very long time. And so they're really just building equity for another rather than building equity for themselves.
Yeah. Yep. Great point.
Yeah.
No, it's such an interesting time with so many things happening, and again, that's why you sit down, even if you don't know what you want to do, sit down and lay it all out to you guys, and you're able to come up with some strategies.
It's interesting how real estate, whether you are a first-time home buyer, selling a home, or purchasing, move up, move down, real estate kind of triggers that conversation about finances and, you know, planning, you know, where you are, what's in the bank, how do you reach some of your goals. I find myself having these conversations with clients that, you know, these deep dive conversations that it's kind of clear that they haven't really considered some of these things. Okay, paying down debt. So when you purchase a home, these aren't some of the things that are coming with you, you know, things of that nature. Some sellers have to worry about capital gains. Like, oh my goodness, will this be taxed at a high rate because of the amount of equity? It's just an observation that I have, that we have these financial related conversations as it relates to real estate. It seems to come to the surface a lot of times in our business.
And the other part of that, too, is us having, as an extension of our business, real estate professionals that we can put them in touch with.
We're just going to ask you about that.
Exactly in the space they need to be in. And so for us, we're real estate professionals. We're giving real estate advice. We're not giving tax advice. We're not appraisers. We're not lenders. And so for us, having those professional resources for the client to be able to reach into and evaluate becomes instrumental in their home search. It also becomes instrumental in their purchase. It also becomes instrumental in their home sale into a purchase. And so for us, we're doing everything we can to, as an extension of our business, to put them in touch with trusted professionals within each area of the process that's going to get them into what we see as their finish line.
Yeah. And I think that those folks, in realtors included, but can talk about a plan forward if you're not positioned this very moment mm-hmm. to buy. There are always homes that are on the market, right? Even mm-hmm. at our lowest point in 2008, mm-hmm. when the market fell so hugely from the height, we still sold thousands of homes. So there are opportunities. If it's not this moment, it will be at some point, and you can work to that goal.
Kim, that's a great point. Patience pays off. And I've always said, let's be patient.
It's so hard sometimes.
It is. It is, because it's emotional. And
yeah.
So, but we're the neutral party, and we love being the neutral party to say, let's be patient. Let's wait for the majority of your checkboxes within your budget, because just like Kim said, there's always going to be homes that are going to come available for you. And what we see today may be very different than what we see tomorrow. And what we see tomorrow may be exactly the best fit for you that we didn't know yesterday. And so, again, I love the aspect of us being the neutral party, us knowing that it's emotional for them, but us guiding them through a process of which is going to benefit them the most.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's tough at times just to, you know, to say that, to be patient, and to be, you know, they feel, you just feel like this is for, you know, I can mm-hmm. I can imagine myself living there.
Because mm-hmm. we've seen it so many times, you know.
Yeah.
Like time, I'd say the same thing, Gary. Timing is everything. Mm-hmm. The house that was on the market today will be sold in a few weeks. And then when you're ready, the house of your dreams will go active. So it's there's so many things outside of our control. Just leaning into the process, your path, and being open to the possibilities when it's ready for you. I think that is the best game plan we can have in a world of uncertainty. Because even if you have all the boxes checked, will we find the house in the neighborhood, the school district? Does it have the, you know, mm-hmm. all those things? So when you leave a little bit of room for magic and faith and just going with the flow just a bit, typically it all falls into place.
Ted, you also brought up the coaching aspect of it. And I just thought about this as Tamara was talking. You know, we have a fallout rate at a percentage that's much higher this year than it was last year. It's our job for them not to be disappointed. It's our job to find the solution. It's our job to get them in the direction they want to be. So I would just encourage everybody that if your home of your dreams falls off for whatever reason it may be within the contingencies, we know that there's a better choice out there for you. We know that we're going to get you there. We know we're going to stay positive. We're going to be the one to put you in the best position. And so for the ones who want a home of their dreams and the home doesn't present itself right away because a contingency one or two or three don't work out and it falls out, it's all going to be okay. We're going to get you into the home of your desire, of your choice, and we're going to put you in the best position. And we're always going to be looking for the solution and not focusing on behind us what may have seemed as a negative that we're going to turn into a positive.
Yeah, because you feel like you got so close. And it's just like you say, it's those two or three contingencies.
Just like you said, it's emotional for them. And so there's a huge letdown for the buyer. And even a seller who's selling their home and coinciding into another, and they lose that purchase, the home of their dreams. But again, we're the neutral party. We're the professional. We're going to put you in the best position. And we want to do everything we can to focus on what's going to benefit you the most.
You may have touched on this before, but because I can remember one of the shows that we did, and I thought as we were discussing it, I thought that this is me about, you know, the sometimes the lack of housing. It's people who get older and their kids leave. But instead of downsizing anymore, you're not downsizing because it's too expensive to do that. So you stay where you are. Because I look at my house and think this would be a nice house for a young family, but I'm not going anywhere. And has that changed at all around here? Is that still an issue or a problem? But there aren't people downsizing and making maybe family homes available.
Definitely think it's still a challenge. You know, colonials are probably our number one category. You living in a colonial that's a three level with a finished basement that you decided to improve and not move has been a challenge for us because we need those homes on the market for the younger yeah. families who are coming into the market.
Right.
But oftentimes, just like you said, Ted, they're not the ones who are giving us the inventory that we can then pass on to a younger generation. Of which you have already done the improvements. You've already expanded a home office. You've already expanded a finished basement. But you've decided to stay because of the uncertainty of, one, the low inventory, two, the high pricing, three, the increase in interest rates. And so, yes, I would encourage everybody who looks into that future, and we don't have the crystal ball, we wish we did, but you're older generationally, you're looking to downsize. It's going to be beneficial for you. And it's also going to benefit others.
Yeah, I agree. Because again, with some of the constraints that Gary mentioned, that younger family, especially locally, that kind of wants to live and work and play where they grew up, the pricing could exceed, you know, their earnings or their capability, whereas someone from a different area could come here and say, these prices are amazing. So we're seeing right. a jump in multi-generational housing, right? Because there are people who, I've had clients say, Tamar, I'm too old for a mortgage. My house is paid for, you know? So that's another thing that you have to consider, you know? So I would say again, with those constraints, we're also seeing multi-generational housing where they will convert that main level into some sort of living accommodation if you don't have, like, first floor living that way. Older children or, you know, different generations can all stay under one roof until conditions improve and pay improves, because the market has already moved, the market has spoken, but now we need pay out there, hello, to help reach some of these goals for our buyers.
Well, Tamar touched on the point of pay. You know, it's not going to get cheaper. That's
correct.
The hard part. And
right.
So as you stay, the pricing historically is going to continue to increase. And I think we've seen, even though we're back in the standard market of the 1% to 5% increase, you're still seeing an increase in sales price. Mm-hmm. So the longer you wait, the more it's going to cost. And for us, you know, we're somewhat of financial nerds in a sense. You know, we're always looking at the financial aspects of representation to benefit the client the most. And so, again, Ted, it's if you wait, it costs you more. If you don't, then you have available opportunity within low inventory, higher pricing, and of course, budget means everything.
And as you look around, and Kim, your numbers show it. It used to be Caroline and King George were where you could go and find something affordable, and even those prices are they're at levels I never thought I'd see.
Yeah, I'm always shocked when I look at Caroline and they're pushing up almost to 400.
Yeah.
I still think that we see our greatest affordability in places like Caroline, Orange, maybe like, you know, Western Spotsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
But those prices have gone up because people have flocked there. I know we talked about on one of the breaks that, you know, people are coming from Northern Virginia. We think our local prices, you know, Caroline County, oh my goodness, almost $400,000 for them. They think this beautiful Colonial and Ladysmith is a steal.
It's a discount.
Yeah.
Correct.
So it's different perspectives on where you're coming from. A resident workforce sees lots of challenges. Folks from the north see amazing deals down here.
You know, Ted, we raised our family here. We've been here since 1993, and never did I think that the average sales price in Spotsylvania County would be almost $500,000.
Yeah.
And that's where we are. We're almost at $500,000 for the average sales price. And so again, affordability is the number one topic on everybody's mind.
Yeah. Because it's out, because it's accelerated so quickly. It's outpaced, you know, what a lot of people are making. So that's kind of the reconciliation of how we kind of get back to normal, where more people can be in the game that don't have, you know, equity saved up or grandma left me $500,000, you know, things like that, you know, that can sort of level the playing field. And then to Kim's point, I also feel like you may not get the house of your dreams, but it's better to get in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're better off when you look at how much you pay annually for rent, when you take your rent, multiply it by 12,
exactly.
When you look at those numbers, you could either pay your mortgage or someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
So this may not be the house that, you know, you dreamed about, but if you can get your foot in the door, because like Gary said, it's not going to get cheaper. There's your equity. So in 3 to 5 years, now you might have 30, 40, 80K to put toward the house of your dreams. The goal is to take action and do something, move toward the goal. Even if you're not going to make it to the top of Everest, start the climb.
Yeah. Good stuff. Boy, I love you guys. This is really good. Fredericksburg Association of Realtors here. Kim, Gary, and tomorrow when we come back, we'll talk about how you can get in touch with them and wrap up a few other things, talk about a few other things before we get out of here this morning. Kim McClellan is here this morning along with Tamar Myers-Moffitt and Gary Gardner. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Wow, good stuff here this morning, as always, with the Fredericksburg Association of Realtors. Gary Gardner, you first. You're with Coldwell Banker Elite. If people want to get in touch with you and talk more about these kind of issues, what's the best way to do that?
Best way to do it is both by phone. My cell phone, 540-424-7888. I'm also available on email at ggardner@coldwellbankerelite.com. And then, of course, I work out of the Spotsylvania branch office with Coldwell Banker Elite, managing 67 agents. So I'm very responsive. If you email me, you text me, or you call me, I will definitely get right back in touch with you.
Tamar Myers-Moffitt is with Samson Properties. If people tomorrow want to talk to you about this kind of stuff.
Yes, well, I'm available on all the socials. My handle is at the Realty Expert, and Realty does not have a Y, so it's T-H-E-R-E-A-L, the letter T, the word expert. So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, you name it. My handle, you can search either Google Tamar Myers Moffitt Realtor or the Realty Expert, and I'll be there.
What's Kim, so great about talking to them, and you just see the value, because so often we just want to do everything. Well, I'll just do it. I'll Google it, and that kind of thing. To sit down and talk with you, there's so much to be gained.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have direct statistics from our region that come from our multiple listing service, where most of our resales go through. Unless it's a for sale by owner, which is a tiny part of the market, you will get exact information at the FAR website, which is www.faarmembers.com. And you can just link to our market statistics. We have all sorts of information locally, so you can look up the jurisdiction you live in, as well as regional information.
The great thing about Gary and Tamar, having you both here, I mean, you can tell you just like what you do, and you're good at what you do.
Thank you, Ted. I mean, I'm so passionate, and I know Tamar is too, and I've been on the board of directors since 2022, and I've been thankful to be in a role of which we're on behalf of all nearly 1,700 members, and I can tell you Tamar is one of the most passionate professionals that I've been with. In a very long time, so I appreciate the opportunity to share.
You both know the area, and again, it's that coaching, or just to be able to say no, let's walk away from this, or go for it. This, you know, you've got the funds to do it. Let's try to do it, or just to, you know, let's look a little longer. All those kinds of things.
We're fortunate to work in an area, like Gary said, we represent 1,700 realtors, and what you see in front of you is reflective of our membership. The realtors here in our area are outstanding. Mm. They're collaborative. They're smart. They're compassionate. They are passionate about what they do, and they care. So I think we are really blessed at FAR to have this mix of realtors that really, they live, work this stuff. You know, it's their passion. These guys are working early, staying late, a lot of times weekends, mm-hmm. just to delight our clients. So what you see here is really reflective of what the realtors here at FAR bring to this community.
I can't imagine what you guys feel like when you do close a sale. And you see them getting...
It never gets old.
It never gets old, and it always feels better.
It feels amazing.
It's, again, it's emotional for them, and we share in the emotion. But at the same time, we're so passionate about what we do. We want the best for them, and we love it every day.
Yeah. Well, and for most people, this is the biggest purchase they will ever make in their entire life.
Yeah.
Not only are they putting a roof over their head, but they're buying something that has six numbers in it. It's huge.
I'm so glad Kim brought that up. It's the one thing that we talk about all the time. It's one of the number one largest in their portfolio. And so we respect that. We do everything we can to put them in the best position to safeguard what's likely the number one dollar amount within their portfolio that's going to be an investment long term.
And like you both have said in many different ways, don't wait on this. Sit down and talk with somebody and see if it's doable, and if you can get out of the renter's game instead of, like you, Tamar said, paying someone else's mortgage.
Pay your own. Now is a great time to buy.
I always say we inherit the risk. It doesn't cost you anything to consult. And so we would love to put you in the best position. Reach out to us directly. And I just want to say, too, our education at FAR is bar none. I think why all of us are real estate professionals within our area, looking out for the best interests of every single client.
Gary Gardner is the president-elect of the Fredericksburg Association of Realtors. He's with Coldwell Banker Elite. Tamar Myers Moffitt is the 2026 vice president with Sampson Properties. Kim McClellan here, the director of public affairs. Thank you all. This has been just fabulous.
Thank you, Ted. We enjoyed it.
You're welcome.
We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That is it. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.